Church,
how are we feeling this morning? Good. Good. Let's give it up for our worship team. That is tough to be up here without the band. Thank you, guys. This is an amazing morning. And as you can see, I know that a couple weeks ago, Steve put a picture up of what he's seen as far as God's works. And I'm gonna do the same thing this morning. Amen. So this picture was taken, I want to say it was taken on October 29th. Okay, the sun was setting. I was traveling from work, and I was just in awe of God. And so I actually stopped. I pulled my vehicle over. I didn't take this picture while I was driving. Okay, I pulled my vehicle over, and I said, I need to capture this picture, because it was amazing. And so I captured that picture, and then when I got home, let me see if I can go to the next slide here. Nope. If I can get some help with the next slide. Okay. This picture was captured by my wife, Chloe, on the same road at the same time at two different locations. She was in awe of God. And so when I got home, she was like, honey, I want you to see this picture. And I was like, I want you to see this picture. And so I was just like, man, you know, she's paying attention to what God is doing. So it goes a little further. I was having dinner with the Beckers and the Colliers a couple weeks ago. And they told me that Brianna took the same picture. And I was just like, whoa. This is amazing. And Steve told me that he had seen it as well. And I know many of us probably seen this sky, but it was amazing to see God working. I mean, it was beautiful. It was red. It was incredible. But my point is, it's like, it's amazing how everyone was paying attention to what God was doing. At that particular time, I was amazed that my wife came home. I had a conversation with the Beckers. Their daughter had taken the picture. Steve Collier had recognized it. And like I said, many of us probably recognized the sky on this particular day. So I don't have a title to put up on the screen, but I do have some helpers to help me with today's title. And if I can get my helpers to come on out. So my title today, and we are paying attention. Go over, let's get it right. Go over, all the way over. You come this way, Noah. You come this way, Joe. Let's give it up for my helper. Yeah. You know, I recruited some helpers today because I felt like this would be appropriate. And so today, as you can see, the title is Pay Attention to Jesus. Amen? Amen. Thank you, helpers. You guys can hit on that. Let me see. Am I on here? This way. Okay. No. Thank you, Larry. Yeah. Which here? Thank you. Thank you, Larry. Okay. So Hebrews chapter 2. We're going to start reading in verse 1. See, that goes to show that I was not paying attention to the instructions as far as the clicker. Hebrews chapter 2, starting in verse 1, the Hebrew writer says, "We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For since the message spoken through angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation?" The Hebrew writer is saying here is that we must pay careful attention to what we have heard. And as disciples of Jesus Christ, we've heard the message of the cross. We have seen what Jesus has done in our lives. And he is urging us to pay attention. And when he talks about, therefore, what we have heard, he's referring to Hebrews chapter 1. So let's look over real quick to Hebrews chapter 1. It says, "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiant of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited, is superior to theirs." So the Hebrew writer was referring to Hebrews chapter 1. And what I take from Hebrews chapter 1 is that there are no commands given to us in Hebrews chapter 1. That was my biggest takeaway. We are not told to do anything. The whole chapter is the declaration and celebration of God's final word to this world. And that is Jesus Christ, his Son. That's all that chapter 1 is all about. It says that he is the exact representation of his being. And a great scripture reference to Hebrews chapter 1 is John. Oops. Got to get used to this clicker. John chapter 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that had been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." That's powerful. The Bible says that in the beginning was the Word. Jesus was with God from the beginning. He is the sustainer of all things. All things were created by him and for him. And that's good news. That's great news. But paying attention is something that we have to really fight to do on a daily basis. Can I get an amen? Amen. Can I get an amen from the kids?
Amen.
You know, I know that being in school, some of the campus kids, we have boring professors or boring teachers. Not trying to knock the educators out here, you know, but it's hard. It's tough, right? It's tough to pay attention. But I wanted to look at a situation where someone was right there with Jesus, but they were not paying attention. Turn over to John chapter 21. You guys with me? We're going to start reading in verse 15, but I only have what I highlighted up on the screen here. John chapter 21, starting in verse 15. The Bible says, and basically what's going on here is that, you know, Jesus had died and came back and appeared to Thomas and some of the disciples. And they went back to their old way of doing things, going fishing. That's what they were doing. That's what they were about. You know, they went back out. Let's start fishing again. Jesus is gone. Okay? So when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he says. "You know that I love you." Jesus says, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Jesus says, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus says, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." And then picking up in verse 20, Peter says, Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." That is an amazing story to me. That Peter, he was always saying the wrong things at the wrong time. But Jesus was faithful. Jesus loved him. And during this time, Jesus was trying to restore him. But he was not listening. Even after three times, Jesus told him to feed my lambs, he started focusing on John. He said, "What about him?" Can any of us relate to that? It sounds like sibling rivalry to me, you know? Because I know it. Sometimes, you know, when I tell my son something, you know, he'll turn around and say, "Well, what about Rachel?" You know, and it's like, wait a minute, I'm talking to you. Focus. Pay attention. Pay attention. It's tough to pay attention. You know, I have a story that I want to share. I'm going to kind of throw a brother under the bus. You know, I like doing that. You give me a mic. Here it is, okay? So when I first became a Christian 22 years ago, it was down south in College Park. Studied the Bible, became a Christian, kind of moved into a single brother household, which was incredible. We had a ministry leader. He was an ex-Marine. So, you know, he was very, very disciplined. So his routine was to get the household up at 5 a.m. in the morning. Okay. We would go and do some circuit training at 5 a.m. in the morning. After the circuit training, he would say, okay, we're going to do a Bible study. After the Bible study, he said, you guys can go off and go to work or do whatever. And this is all before 7 a.m. And he was consistent with that. So this certain brother that was in this particular group, we would meet at the household, and there was a point where we would get together and get on our knees and start praying during this time. This brother would always be off in a corner by himself. And so after a while, you know, I took notice, and he was over there asleep. I mean, snoring. And I was just like, oh, man. And he didn't do it once or twice. I mean, he was consistent with this. And that's my brother, Burrell Pope. Now, let me clean it up a little bit, okay? It's not Burrell Pope anymore. It's Dr. Burrell Pope. Amen? So he got that lesson as far as paying attention. Amen? So I love you, brother. But what are we paying attention to? What are we listening to? Whom are we listening to? There's a lot of distractions, especially around this time of year. It's the holidays. We're making plans. We're making meals. School is out. Things are about to happen. Who are we listening to? You know, parents, and I love talking to the parents, are we listening to our kids? They have a lot to say, and I have been very, very guilty of that. Too busy to listen. Too busy to pay attention to their needs. And that's a big disservice to our families. We need to pay attention. Husbands, we need to pay attention to our wives. They want to know that we are paying attention. It's football season. Some of us aren't even paying attention to me. We're thinking about 1 o'clock and what's going to happen this afternoon in the NFL. And our wives may be thinking something else. They may want to spend some quiet time alone. We have to pay attention. But God has spoken through his son. Are we listening and paying attention to that? How does your listening to him compare to listening to other things or other people? How does that compare? Because sometimes we cannot let other people influence us more than the Word of God. We cannot brush this off. We cannot act as if we already know everything or know everything that we need. You know, there is so much more for us to learn from Jesus. And that's whether you are a new Christian. You know, I was talking to a brother. He said he's been a Christian 2 months, or you have been a Christian for 30 years. We are still learners as disciples. Amen? That's Jesus talking to Peter. It's like he's trying to reason with him. It's like, come on, dude. Get it. Pay attention. Understand the importance of what I'm trying to tell you. Turn back over to Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2. This is not an isolated command to pay most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard. This is not an isolated command in the book of Hebrews. This concerns the readers and tells the readers to wake up and pay attention. He's trying to get our attention in the book of Hebrews. Let's look over in Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Starting in verse 1. It says, therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. I have another version here. It says, therefore, holy brothers who share in the heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. The writer is saying, consider Jesus. Consider Jesus. Pay attention to Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Stay close to Jesus. Am I getting my point across? This is not rocket science. Stay close to him. Keep your thoughts on him. Learn from him every day. Learn how to be like him, what he says, the way that he thinks, the way that he talks to people. It's going to be tough for some of us during this holiday season because we have to travel and go see relatives. We're going to travel and probably go to places where there's no church. And we are going to have to pay attention to how we're living. Again, it says it in Hebrews 12. Therefore, here's that word again, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on who? Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we need to consider Jesus. We need to listen to Jesus. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus. I can't say that enough. And this is not a difficult command. You know, these things are not hard to do. And the only thing that makes it hard is who? Us, right? I make it hard on myself because there's times where I don't listen. I don't consider. I don't fix my eyes on Jesus. And that's very harmful to yourself, to your spouse, to your children, to your relatives. That makes it very difficult. We need to listen to Jesus when it comes to our purpose. And I just want to talk about that a little bit. You know, I have to ask myself, when was the last time I really reached out and had some people at church? Because that's the greatest command right there, Matthew 28:18-20. Make disciples of all nations. That's what we're commanded to do as disciples, is to make disciples. And the only reason why we don't obey that is because we're not paying attention. There's other things more important, right? Way more important. We don't consider Jesus, and we don't fix our eyes on Jesus. We have a great opportunity before us during the holidays to impact our family and friends by being like Jesus, by considering Jesus, by staying close to Jesus. Amen? Amen. He wants us to fix our eyes on him. We'll go back to Hebrews 2. Make sure I'm doing well with time. I see that Joe gave me a little extra time, so. Hebrews 2, it says at the bottom of verse 1, we may pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. And when I looked at that word drift, it said to be carried slowly by a current of air or water. Drifting is very, very, very dangerous. And you don't even know it's happening. It takes no life, no motion. You're just floating on by. One need only to do nothing to drift away. If you're sitting around doing nothing, you need to ask yourself, have you drifted away? You don't call the other Christians. You're not coming to midweek service. If you come, you're late. You're doing nothing. Other things are more important to you. The Hebrew writer says that if we do not pay closer attention to God's word, we will drift away. And we all know people that this has happened to. And it's happened to some of us. Drifting requires no effort at all. You don't have to do anything. Drifting is dangerous, not only to yourself, but to others. Your families, your schoolmates, your coworkers. You start off strong, you go in the office talking about Jesus and your conversion story, and then a year goes by, you're not talking anymore. Matter of fact, you're joining in the gossip at the water cooler. You know, I wanted to talk about a time where I drifted. It was dangerous because Chloe and I, we were converted down south in a ministry, and we moved over to Gwinnett County. It was in 1998. And the reason why we moved is because we felt like there was a stronger teen ministry over here. And so prior to us moving, Chloe and I were heading up the children's ministry in the South. We were family group leaders, Bible talk leaders. We were doing a lot of different things. And to be honest, I was burnt out. And so we moved over. It was the DeKalb ministry at the time. And it was led by Frank and Michelle Davis. And so we moved over. In church, I sat all the way in the back. I sat all the way in the back because I wanted to hide out. I didn't want to be bothered. I was burnt out. I just wanted to come to church, hear the word, and go home. And I drifted. Because God didn't create us for that. He didn't. And so after about a year, Frank Davis called me out. He asked me out to lunch after a service. He was like, "Hey, bro, you know, your name is Mike Rao, right?" It's like, "Yeah." He's like, "Bro, what have you been doing? I've been seeing you here, but what are you doing?" And there was nothing that I could say. And he was like, "Bro, you know, I think that you need to get involved in helping the church because we're a body and we all have parts to play in the body." Amen? Amen. And so I was called out. You can be hiding when you bounce around from ministry to ministry. You can. It's just a way of, okay, I don't like this. It's like going through a buffet line. Don't like that. I don't like this. And you can hide out. And you never really grow spiritually. And we all know family and friends that have done this. The bottom part of verse 3 in Hebrews, it says, "How shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation?" And some version says, "How would you don't neglect this great salvation? Not listening to Jesus day by day, not considering Jesus, not fixing our eyes on Jesus will result. The result will be that we will not escape." And escape what? The judgment of God. And it talks about that in Hebrews 12, 25. But what I want to focus on is the Hebrew writer says a great salvation. We need to understand what we have as Christians. And if you're not a Christian today, we want to share the Bible with you. We want to love up on you. We want to make sure that you can enjoy this great salvation. Amen? Amen. How great is this salvation? Jesus died for us. Our sins have been forgiven. Amen? Amen. God, Holy Spirit, dwells in us. Joe pointed that out this morning, right? And brothers and sisters, our names are written in the book of life. That's good news, right? We should be rejoicing in that. Why would we want to neglect such a great salvation? Why? The only reason why would be if we regard something else or someone else more important to listen to and consider and fix our eyes on than Jesus. And you have to ask yourself this morning, is there something else or someone else more important to you than Jesus? Is someone else getting more attention from you than Jesus? Are you giving your time to something more than Jesus? Are you giving your money to something more than Jesus? In closing, I want to bring my friends back out. But we have to fix our eyes on Jesus. God wants us to enjoy this great salvation. We need to consider Jesus. We need not to drift away from Jesus. And we need to, and I need the church to help me, pay attention to Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
This thing on?
There we go. First of all, a reminder, all teens, campus, and adults involved in the choir for the Christmas production can meet in the band room at 12:15. Actors meet backstage at that time as well. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for today and everything that you've given us. Father, a lesson that you've been teaching me recently is that I'm in Kingdom Kids right now, and that you're teaching me that we are just like them. We are just like the children. There are times when we don't want to be responsible for the things the tasks that you have given us. We don't want to pay attention to you. John told us this morning that about Stephen and his example, how he was responsible for the needs of others, for the needs of the church. That because of his responsibility for the task that you gave him, that he was able to do great things, that you gave him that power. And Michael told us this, or Mr. Rowell told us this morning about how we need to pay attention to Jesus, how we don't need to be paying attention to other people to make sure that they're doing right, or to anything else that just replaces you. We don't need to be paying attention to entertainment or things that draw us away from you. We need to be responsible for the tasks you've given us and to pay attention to you. Our minds are unruly things, and it's hard to keep them under control, but you give us the power to be masters of our own minds. And I just pray that we will be able to do that, and that we will be bold like Stephen was. And I pray all this in your son's name. Amen.
You're dismissed.